Very interesting. Thank you so much, Sandra. All right. We are blessed with the knowledge that we must allow God in our lives to get through this earthly life. Even our blunders are used as learning experiences. God knows that we will have moments of failure, but he wants us to continue on giving each day the best that we've got. Again, I'd like to welcome you to Wellspring Church, and I'm very happy to see all of you here this morning. Eleanor Roosevelt was born to a very beautiful woman, but she was often called an ugly duckling. Her mother called her Granny. And if someone would say, "Why do you call her that?" she would say, "Oh, she is such an old-fashioned child." Her mother did pass away when she was only 8 years old, and her alcoholic father passed away when she was 9. Eleanor would be raised by her grandmother. Her family thought she was out of tune, as she looked odd, and she chose never to wear makeup. She did marry Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1905 after he had prompted her for 3 years to marry her. In 1913, Franklin was stricken with polio. In one book, I read that Eleanor was his eyes and ears, but she never did have a place in his arms. It was widely known that Mr. Roosevelt had fallen in love with his secretary, Lucy. And it would be Lucy who would accompany him to political outings. Franklin then became governor and then became president of the United States of America. Eleanor had survived a loveless childhood, a husband who was not faithful, and an overbearing mother-in-law. No matter how crazy our world becomes or how chaotic we may feel, God wants us to be secure in our belief in God and secure in the knowledge that we are all his children. Eleanor Roosevelt kept her head up. I don't know that I could have done what she had done. She became the president's legs and essentially his voice as she began to visit the slums, the schools, the sharecroppers, sharing messages and promises for better care for American people, especially the poor. Just an interesting note, some of her sponsors were Simmons Mattresses, Selby Shoes, Pond's Cold Cream, John's Manville Building Supplies, and Sweetheart Soap. All of these companies provided money, and she allowed the proceeds from the companies to go to the American Friends Service Committee. Eleanor was a member of the Episcopal Church. She was a woman of great faith. She once wrote, "One's philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choices one makes, and the choices we make are ultimately our responsibility." And reflecting on the song that we just sang this morning, the more that we make the way that Jesus lived, our way of living, it becomes natural that it is our responsibility. It becomes natural that we try to take care of others. She found great meaning in the Beatitudes and in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Much of Eleanor's work was for the marginalized people in the States and around the world. She also worked with women's rights and civil rights. She frequently shared the narrative of Jesus' birth, that he was born to poor parents and was an immigrant whose life was threatened. Eleanor remained a believer and chose not to delve into self-criticism nor judgment. People mimicked her because of her looks. She chose not to delve into self-judgment. She allowed God to work through her so that others would see Jesus in her. Again, the more we read about it, the more we practice it, the more it becomes natural in each of our lives. Ordinary people are enabled by God to accomplish extraordinary things. Eleanor was even chosen for the delegation of the United Nations, caring for others. Her ideas and her voice were put into action to help save or to make life a bit easier for others. She had this written on her headstone at the time of her death. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. We can feel that way, and we know that because Jesus is our Lord. Our author Betty Maltz reminds us that all people may not be equal, but we have equal opportunity through prayer and with God's help. Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God wants to restore our souls. But there are times when he asks us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Are we able and willing to stop doing or saying things just to please others when they go against our own values? Can we walk away from that which is not godly? Are we rising above and living as Jesus lived? Philippians 2:12-13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Sometimes those mountains are big. They catch us. And they stop us from living a godly life. And sometimes all it takes is a pebble or a seashell in our shoe. That pebble or seashell overwhelms us and clutters our daily walk with God. Are we able to practice living as Jesus lived? And when the mountains arise or the pebble gets in your shoe, continue your righteous living. Let go of the old habits. Let go of exaggerating, jealousy, anger, lying, whatever habit you may have difficulty with. There is freedom when you enter the freedom of our living Jesus. It is only God's love that never fails. In 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Paul encourages the Christians of Corinthian to recognize the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He strives to emphasize to love more than the gifts that you will receive. Recognize the Spirit is in your life working through you. God's love is given to us and expressed through each of us. When people meet with you and share with you, are they thinking, he loves Jesus? She loves Jesus? Do they notice something different in you? Do they feel comfortable with you? Our world needs that. When we fill our hearts and minds with Christ, our days will not lack company or affection due to Christ's never-ending love. Colossians 2:10. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. The false teachings at that time began to emphasize the lesser gifts, and Paul was declaring Jesus' authority over all believers. The gifts of the Spirit complete our lives. He encouraged all who listened to live as Jesus had lived. The author, Betty Matz, shared 4 thought patterns that can just sap the energy out of your life. And these thoughts can walk us away from the glory of a God-filled life. First, mentioned earlier, is the need to stop being physically and emotionally drained by old habits. I can add to this list by saying old habits might include worrying, overeating, needing and seeking validation from others. That's also a bad habit. Honor God with your being and with your words. Practice self-care daily. Next, stop harboring an unforgivable spirit. Tough, sometimes. How much energy we have wasted holding on to the pain and anger of being hurt. It is difficult to forgive, but it can be done. Let go of the pain and give Jesus permission to work more fully in your life, in your lives. Let it go. Release it to God in prayer. If you need to sing that Disney song, "Let It Go," go right ahead and do it. Do it out loud in your car if you need to. Ask God continuously to change the hurt feelings in your heart and in your mind, so that you may have a feeling of peace. Third, make sure you set goals and move forward towards your goals. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has given me heavenward, has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul pressed on and refused to look back. He would not allow things from the past to distract him right now or to distract him in the future. His goal was to live as Jesus wanted. Paul became a new man living with a different attitude. He wanted people to see Jesus within him. As we became witnesses for Jesus, we should not worry as we become witnesses. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. We're encouraged to learn more about Jesus every day. Make the most out of what we have. Plan for today, spending time reading the Bible, spending time in prayer, spending time calling someone, spending time caring for someone. Set a goal. Reaching our planned goals will give us a spiritual boost. Don't we feel good when we can check that off the list? Don't we feel good when we get off the phone with a friend that we wanted to call? I was feeling good each box that we got to the bottom of. The other day at Marianne's house, setting a goal is important. You will feel a spiritual boost and a burst of energy when you achieve your goal. Your desire to follow Jesus will become a daily goal, and you will only grow in your ability to do so. It will come more naturally. And fourth, stop dwelling on past mistakes. We all have thought or said, if only I said, if only I didn't say, maybe I should have, why, oh why, wish I could do that one over again. Move forward, not backward. Do what you can to right a wrong. Say, I'm sorry. I think we'd be shocked if we knew how many people are unable to share a heartfelt I'm sorry. Let go of the guilt. Pray for Jesus to help with your emotions and ask Jesus to wash you clean. Avoid self-centeredness and love self-esteem. Avoid self-centeredness and love self-esteem. Learn from the circumstances in your life and live one day at a time. Psalm 68:19 reads, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens." We are not in this alone. We are not in this alone. Take a deep breath and know that Jesus walks with you, carries your burdens with you. There's no reason to keep it in your mind and in your heart. Give it to God. We need to carry the burdens or the baggage of, we need not carry the burdens or the baggage. Sometimes it is messy and our bags we are carrying will burst and it becomes worse. When we release our grip on the burdens we are carrying, know that God is picking them up. Thank the Lord that His love and His mercy are gifts to us every hour of every day. Give up the anger, give up the hopelessness and the exhaustion, and cast your worries on Him. His compassion for us will never fail. Give thanks for His mercy every morning. I'm going to read a prayer from Beth Moore's book, and she took verses and she created prayers out of them. So I'm going to read, this is from Isaiah 30:18-21. It's the verse, but it's written in prayer form. And then when I am done, each one of you has a little slip of yellow paper, and that is a little prayer that she took, 1 John 3:1, and I'd like to read that as our ending prayer. And I will let you know when we move on to 1 John 3:1. So this is the first prayer, and it is from Isaiah 30:18-21. It is a prayer. Lord my God, you long to be gracious to me. You rise to show me compassion, for you, the Lord, are a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for you. We, the people of God, will one day weep no more. How gracious you will be when I cry for help. As soon as you hear, you will answer me. Although you, Lord, have at times given me the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, my teachers will one day be hidden no more. With my own eyes, I will see them. Whether I turn to the right or to the left, my ears will hear a voice behind me saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." Let's read together 1 John 3:1. Father God, how great is the love you have lavished on me that I should be called a child of God, and that is what I am. Amen. And now we have a time of